Hi, I'm Shadow Stevens. While I'm doing this and that and the other thing at the very same time, I'm having a great time on The Jeremiah Show, the greatest show in the history of the world. For the love of God, subscribe. No, seriously, subscribe.
It's The Jeremiah Show. Tearing back the curtain on music icons, pop culture, and food gods, we're bringing you the hottest guests from around the globe with your music business authority, LA personal development commentator, Mike Gormley. The Jeremiah Show is sound designed by master sound engineer, Dr. D. He's a restaurant and bar fixer. He's opened and fixed over 200 restaurants, bars, and hotels. He's a partner with legendary drummer Mick Fleetwood from Fleetwood Mac in Fleetwood's on Front Street in Maui. And he's your radio host. Step aside, Superman, from A Race Around the Sun, Jeremiah Higgins.
Welcome to The Jeremiah Show. Dr. D, how you doing this afternoon, this rainy afternoon, cold afternoon in Santa Barbara?
It's winter.
It's nice, isn't it?
Yeah, I love it.
Okay, we always talk about this, so we're not going to do that. We're not going to waste any time on that. But
not at all.
But it does actually, I was actually almost, I almost complained today that it was too cold, and I thought, what am I doing? I always talk about how much I love this cold weather. So, but it is cold. I think I'm a California boy now for sure, and I'm my blood is thinned. I get cold easy.
Yeah. However, today's program is hot.
Oh, it's a hot one. We got, well, I'll tell you why it's hot. Another person, another guy that I respect in the industry so much, this gentleman that's our special guest today, we've talked maybe for probably a good 4 years now, I'd say, about him joining the Jeremiah Show as a industry expert commentator. Mm-hmm. And today he does. The gentleman I'm talking about is president of Southern California Restaurant Design, Michael Benson. Let me tell you a little bit about him. 30 years plus of experience in the food service equipment industry. He offers really a great perspective, and I'm going to give a personal story. I first, the Daisy restaurant, we first hired Michael and his company for the Daisy that we opened about, you know, a few years back. They worked on the kitchen design and the kitchen layout and the equipment. And I got to know Michael and his company, and it's so impressive. Not only did this guy work around the clock, he's there for his clients, for customers around the world. I mean, international. One of the things that I'm really impressed by is that his, in the government food service industry, I think he's the top dog, the guy through IFE marketing that works with the U.S. military, prisons, jails, VA hospitals, embassies, the U.S. Park Service, and pretty much every other government foods operation since 2003. So he is a major supplier in equipment. What this does for a little mom and pop like the Daisy or Arch Rock Fish or any different size hospitality business that you have out there, what this does for you, that relationship he has with the government agencies and food service, is it helps. He orders so much equipment that it that it gives you really great pricing and really great brands, like no other. I mean, I don't think there's anybody that can match what they do. Not only that, he's accessible. As you see, he's on the show today. Mm-hmm. He's joining us. I had to pay him in cheeseburgers, but he did agree to join us and a couple of nice martinis, maybe one of these. Steaks is what he prefers, and a martini. But he's going to join us, to come and offer over as a series advice and his unique perspective from the industry. And again, he's accessible. What I love about it, if you need to talk to the guy at the top and Michael, he'll answer that phone call and he'll put you to the right person. Just really love working with him. So the company again is Southern California Restaurant Design Group, and it offers the restaurant industry design services, specification, value engineering, and procurement of equipment, installation, and all other related services, at the same time with the assistance of the Board of Health and Warranty Services. So the Southern California Restaurant Design Group works in all sectors of the restaurant industry, including working for major national fast casual quick serve chains such as The Habit Burger, Cafe Rio, Farmer Boys, Urban Plates, Steak and Shake, Burger Lounge, Wiener Schnitzel. They work with all the major hotel groups like the Westin, the Marriott, Best Western, and Arrive Hotels. They work with celebrity chefs, fine dining concepts, independent restaurants, full service concepts, hospitals, assisted living centers, business and industry, ghost kitchens, which we're going to talk about today, and commissaries in many other food service markets. Michael, or Mr. Benson to his friends, is well known, like I said, in the government food service industry. And we're going to talk about all of this. We're going to talk about some hot topics in the restaurant industry. And this is also that show that everybody waits for the end of the year. As you know, if you've followed us over the last 7 or 8 years that we've been on air, we predict the future for the food service hospitality industry. And that's this show. So you stumbled on the right show. You're in the right place. Welcome, Michael Benson, to the Jeremiah Show. So good to have you, my friend.
It's great to be here, Jeremiah.
You know, as connected as you've listed him as being, it's going to answer a lot of questions, not just about the future predictions that you're talking about, but he's been around long enough in this industry. He has seen the changes that have gone on over the past 30 years, mm-hmm. not just in his area of design and so forth, but also in terms of the equipment that he orders and has put into these kitchens. So you're absolutely right. This is the right guy to have.
It's exciting to have you here, mm-hmm. Michael. So where do we find you today at this moment, this hour? And I know you're all over the world. I like to play a game I call, where in the world is Michael Benson?
Well, actually, like Waldo. I'm home in Solana Beach, California. And we're not getting any rain. It's cool. It's a little overcast, but I did live in Santa Barbara for 14 years. And you know, the more it rains up there during this time of year, the more beautiful it is in the spring. So I don't think you guys should complain too much.
Not at all.
No, Richard and I never complain. Dr. D, we love the rain. We love the cool weather. It's usually too hot. So, and the fall, man, it's so great up here. And I love to see what's happening right now, because although there are all these mask mandates and, you know, you need your vaccination cards, a lot of places to get in. I am seeing and visiting my restaurant friends out there, and I see them busy again, and I see them still there and having survived all of this. What's that like for you, Michael? You know, you're very connected with so many owners and brands, hundreds and hundreds that are your clients. What's that like for you to have seen not only the last couple of years on the industry and the effect on the industry, but to see your friends still there, or the ones that you've lost? And, you know, how is this? What's your perspective on the pandemic and where we're at right now?
Well, Jeremiah, I just got back from visiting the East Coast. I was in New York City for about 10 days, working on a couple projects, meeting with some architecture firms. And then I went to see my mom in a, you know, nice small suburb of Connecticut right on the coast. So, you know, New York City is, the restaurant industry is coming back. You know, people are, I mean, the restaurants were full my entire visit. They are taking the vaccination, you know, cards and proof of, you know, entry very seriously there. And, you know, what I've seen with COVID is that we're in probably one of the most resilient industries in the world. I mean, to think about what COVID did to the restaurant industry nationwide, and you know, with the shutdowns and, you know, the seating outside, you know, for long periods of time, just to see what's going on. It's great. And, you know, I think it's going to continue. I see, high level of motivation from people from all walks of life that, you know, want to go out and eat. And, you know, I think at this point, it's not going to stop most from, you know, supporting the restaurant industry.
Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. What you said about the resilience and seeing, you know, being one of the most resilient businesses and watching, I honestly was a lot more scared for the restaurants. I probably predicted more doom and gloom for the restaurant business, just because I know how hard it is, how tight the margins are already.
Right.
And in good times. And I thought, oh my God, this is going to be devastating. And it has been in a lot of places, you know, for a lot of businesses that had to let go. But I also see a lot of survival, and talk about the resilience and these restaurant workers and these owners and chefs. I mean, I got to really take my hat off to them and applaud how many of them were so resilient, as you say, and made it through, you know, despite they're just hanging on by their, you know, by their fingernails, and it seems like it's coming back.
It is coming back, Jeremiah. And, you know, once I was finished in New York City, when I, you know, visited for a week, the small town in Connecticut that I grew up in, you know, all the restaurants were exceptionally busy there too, you know, from the, you know, the local diner, you know, right, you know, down to the, you know, the fanciest restaurant in town. And so I don't think it's just tied to large, you know, geographic centers with levels of wealth. I think it, you know, it's happening everywhere. And, you know, I know there are a lot of barriers, you know, for restaurant owners right now, but, you know, there's not a harder working group of people in this country. I mean, it, you know, like you just mentioned, it's a tough business already, you know, between, you know, the labor shortage and the supply chain issue, which we're talking about, which, you know, I guess affects food also. I mean, it's encouraging, and I think, you know, things are going to get better down the road. I really see it happening, because, you know, we will, I guess, discuss it later in our conversation, but, you know, the development of restaurants is everybody's very, very busy right now. So, and that's another positive trend.
Yeah, it is. So now I'm going to give you three real quick stories. Okay, I'm out in Palm Springs for Thanksgiving holiday, and we check in the hotel, and there's one person at the front desk, and you can look and see they're a little frazzled, but we were not in a rush, and we just smiled, and then they calmed down, and they could tell we weren't going to complain about things being a little slow to check in. Then we go to the bar, and the bartender is in a really bad mood. Okay. But she has 30 tables, not full, but she's got 30 tables and people are moving around. And I, you know, I'm looking around and she's the only one there, and she lets you know that and all that, you know, and then she slowly, you know, we're not in a hurry again. We're smiling. We're taking our time. Take your time. Come back. Saw the same server over the next 4 days. I saw her for breakfast. I saw her for lunch. She worked every shift. She worked three jobs, as I find out over the 4 days. She started out kind of defensive and grumpy, and then became, she was a hospitality professional. Just, she was short, they were short staffed like everywhere. And, but I started to ask, why you work three jobs? Well, I love the business. I love hospitality. Nobody else wants to work. So my manager calls me. I show up for this lunch. I show up for that breakfast. She's working at three different restaurants, not to mention every shift all day long, open to close. Same thing. I'm talking to a bartender down at Pearl Social, and he said, I got in here because nobody else wanted to work, but I wanted to work. I didn't want to sit at home. I wanted to work. And I keep having these conversations with servers, bartenders, and professionals in the business that are working right now. And they all say, I want to work. I love hospitality. I see an opportunity. And you hear, but if you watch the news and you listen, it's all doom and gloom. Nobody wants to work. There are, you know, nobody wants to go wait tables anymore. That's what you hear. But I'm not seeing that. I'm not hearing that. I know that people are short-staffed, that restaurants are having a harder time finding people. But I feel it gives me confidence that that heart of the restaurant and soul of the restaurant business, the people that work those shifts and take care of all of us, there's a lot of them out there that really want to be there and want to take care of us. And so that makes me happy. And I wonder, Michael, what's your opinion on this? I mean, everybody's busy. Do you think it's a short staff? A staffing reason why they are so busy, or do you think they're actually back up to their old numbers and that they're hitting their, you know, they're hitting their goals and filling the seats? What do you think that is? Do you think it's just because they're fewer servers and fewer bartenders and managers, or is it because they're actually legitimately full?
Well, I think, you know, at the end of the day, the well-run restaurants that take care of their employees and, you know, pay whatever, you know, in a certain market is considered to be a fair wage are successful right now, and they're scaling. And, you know, even though I'm on the development side, you know, it's like any other business, you know, especially during these times, you know, the well-run, well-managed business that, you know, look after their employees are going to be the successful ones. You know, also too, you know, since COVID hit, the number of restaurants, total restaurants are down. And I believe again that, the restaurants that, you know, are well-managed and, you know, have a plan are, you know, achieving even a higher level of success.
Mm-hmm.
I also believe that, you know, with the development that we're involved with, especially in major cities like Los Angeles, Miami, and New York, there's a sense of confidence from, you know, the restaurant groups and entrepreneurs that are in the building stage right now that, you know, regardless of, you know, what's going on with the, you know, employment issue, that they're going to find the right people to work in their restaurants. And, you know, when you see the capital that they put into the development side, you know, it's, you know, I mean, it's an inherent risk that they're taking, but again, you know, I don't think in the long run, people are concerned about, finding good employees. That I think there's a consensus among the restaurant industry that, you know, as time goes on and, you know, the country wraps its arms around COVID and understands it more and more, that, you know, the employees will come back.
I have a question. This is Dr. D, and I'm curious in Jeremiah's stories that he just shared. Mm-hmm. It exemplifies what I have always believed, that there is always at least one person, but there's always somebody who's interested in doing whatever the job is that needs to be done, whether it's collecting the garbage, you know, and I am so thankful for those people, or we'd be up to our eyeballs in it. The people who work at the water treatment plant, the people who work in the grocery stores or the restaurants or the hotels or whatever the business is. There's always somebody who's interested in doing it, who has a passion for it. And I think that's something that Jeremiah's stories epitomize, that there are people who love working in the hospitality industry, who love, I mean, I'm a very efficient dishwasher. I mean, I don't work for any place, but when I'm doing my own dishes, I have a system. I have a method. Okay. And my wife is always surprised at how fast I get the dishes done. That's just because I have a method, you know, and I always, for example, I always do the clear glasses. I do the glasses first before the water gets all murky, because I do it by hand. I don't have a dishwasher.
Dr. D's first profession, by the way, was as dishwasher in a restaurant.
Well, believe it or not, it was. I worked for Jerry's restaurant in Phoenix, Arizona. And, right. And it was quite an experience, especially when I went to get my health card. Back then, you had to have them. And I'd come back to the restaurant and nobody was doing anything based upon what I had just learned.
Well, I also want to point out with Dr. D's story here. I know you're not finished with it.
I'm going to let you.
But the dishwashing story and how you do dishes and that your wife loves that.
Yeah.
I just wanted to let the ladies out there know Dr. D is married. He's taken. So,
However, I am open for contract.
Because I know a lot of women out there went, wait, a guy that wants to do the dishes every night? He's hired.
Well,
what's that old term they use, Jeremiah? Dishpan hands?
Yeah. Do I have dishpan hands?
You've got the olive, what is it, the dove or olive or whatever?
Yeah,
you got
dove hands, yeah.
Yes, yeah, the soft
ones. But I mean, as a kid growing up, we had six kids in a family, and my parents split it up between, you know, they paired us off. And every week, for 1 week, the two of us, depending upon who it was, we would set the table, we would clear the table after dinner, and we would do the dishes. So I have lots of experience doing dishes.
Well,
But going back to my point, there's always somebody, right?
Yeah, Jeremy? Michael, I love the optimism. So you're saying, so we're talking about employment, which was and is still a big hurdle to overcome. At the as the restaurants get back up to speed to bring on staff and train, et cetera. It always has been. It's been getting harder and harder.
Yeah,
I don't think the pandemic helped anything. But what I'd like to go back to what Michael is talking about. That he sees as a restaurant design group that with his clients around the world, around the country, that there is optimism from these groups and these buyers.
Which is great.
So they're looking, what you're saying, Michael, if I'm just to clarify, if I'm right, what I'm hearing is right, that there's some actually optimism out there about the restaurant business. Oh, it's not.
In fact, Jeremiah, in your past life when you were in the restaurant scene in Los Angeles, I'm sure you saw different stages of eras where, development was busy or, it was, slowed down. And Los Angeles is in a restaurant boom, believe it or not. And I know a number of celebrity chefs and restaurateurs that are looking for second generation space, especially on the West Side. And there's nothing to be found. So, I think that's a glaring example of what's going on out there. I mean, as far as the employment issue goes, I think another factor outside of COVID is, we've counted on, a lot of, immigrants to the U.S., new immigrants to work in a lot of those restaurant jobs. And, I think that's also kind of slowed down, especially in the last 5 or 6 years, due to a lot of factors that, I don't want to get into politics, but a lot of restaurant owners have confided to me that, that has certainly put a hit on the labor pool and, for the restaurant industry.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with President Michael Benson. He owns Southern California Restaurant Design Group. It's a division of the IFE Group, which was established in 2014 to offer full turnkey services to the restaurant industry. The Southern California Restaurant Design Group offers all of the equipment, fixtures, and suppliers required for today's commercial food service operations. Due to their superior buying power, they are able to offer the largest variety of food service equipment in the industry, including kitchen equipment, kitchen supplies, dinnerware, glassware, flatware, bar equipment and supplies, buffet and catering equipment, furniture, and disposable supplies. They also supply front-of-the-house interior design packages. Go to SoCalRestaurantDesign.com to find out more. We'll be right back.
Hi there, everybody. This is Ann Hitch, and you're listening to The Jeremiah Show. We are Ann
and Heather,
and we are better together.
Thank you.
My name's Danny Trejo, and you're listening to The Jeremiah Show. And on it, I'm talking about my cookbook, awesome. I got a documentary coming out, a record called Satisfy My Soul. Check it out. Trejo's music, Jeremiah, you're loved, Holmes.
The Jeremiah Show, your show to hear the best new music and exclusive artist interviews. You won't hear personal interviews like these anywhere else.
Hi, this is Johnny Valenti. I'm the owner of Birdland Jazz Club in New York City. For nearly four decades, going dark during the global pandemic taught me how important the arts, especially music, are to each of our cultures and our health. Musicians literally bring life and joy to our daily lives. Radio shows that support musicians and music, like The Jeremiah Show, are so important in keeping music alive. I hope that you will keep listening and supporting musicians. Please support the music. And please come and visit me at Birdland when you're in New York City. Thank you.
Welcome to the Jeremiah Show. We've got a new industry expert. I'm so happy to welcome him to the Jeremiah Show. We'll be seeing and hearing a lot more from President of Southern California Restaurant Design Group, Michael Benson. He's my go-to company. He really, he and his team, Michael's team, can help you from one end of the country to the other. In fact, there's a market, a Greek market, that's opening up on the East Coast in a little town. And I called up Michael. I said, I don't suppose you have anybody out there. Within a minute or two, I get an email back from his person out there on the East Coast in this little town. So the power, the reach, the just the family at Southern California Restaurant Design Group is so great and can help you if you're out there going, God, I'd like to get into the restaurant business. I see some of this opportunity and I'm optimistic. This is my time. I don't want to go back to the office that I, you know, my cubicle under the fluorescent lights anymore. I want to start my own business. I want to start my own restaurant and bar. This is a guy to call, Michael Benson, again, president of Southern California Restaurant Design Group. Before we go into our predictions and your, more specifically, your predictions for the hospitality industry for 2022, Michael, let's back up a little bit here and explain to our listeners what a kitchen designer does for a commercial kitchen and why you need one. And the difference, excuse me, before you answer, the difference between an architect and a kitchen designer.
Right. No. Generally, on a restaurant design project, you have an architect. The architect is the quarterback of the entire project. They're the ones that, you know, work on the building and everything tied, you know, to the building. In most cases, the architect loves to have a company like ours come in and design the kitchen, you know, for a lot of different reasons. First, we understand the equipment and we handle the elevations and, you know, we follow the direction of, you know, the chef or, you know, the owner menu. Operator.
Yeah. Or the
and
menu design.
It's a very you know, sophisticated industry when it comes to, as you know, Jeremiah, trying to please everybody, you know, when developing a kitchen, because there's nothing worse than when you open up a new restaurant and the kitchen's not functional. So, you know, as a result, the architects, you know, feel a source of, you know, strength to have experts working on the kitchen part while they, you know, focus on what they're, you know, really, really good at. And, you know, it's, it's always a good thing for everybody out there that's considering, you know, opening a restaurant to make sure that the architects are restaurant centric, meaning that, you know, if you're going to devote, you know, a lot of capital towards developing and building a restaurant, you know, it's imperative that you hire the right architect. And I've seen, you know, clients that have gone out and, you know, they hired their, you know, friend, you know, that, you know, only designed homes. And, you know, in a lot of cases, you know, the project, you know, goes through delays or has problems because, you know, architecture of a restaurant is much different than, you know, getting involved in a, you know, residential project, for, you know, many, many reasons. And I can, you know, tell you, especially here in Southern California, there is a lot of, you know, independent restaurant architects that are just tremendous at what they do. And a lot of the mid-size and, you know, large architecture firms, you know, depending on the scope of work and the dynamics of your project, also have, you know, architects, you know, within, you know, their company that specialize in restaurants. So more than anything, you know, the surest way to success when you're planning a restaurant development project is to get the right architect in there and either hire your own kitchen design, you know, designer direct, or, you know, use the architect for reference, you know, on who they've had really positive experiences in the past.
And a lot of things that you take into account are like, you know, crossover. You think about four or five people on a line, right? They're in a small little area, 36 inches wide, maybe, you know, between the oven, the stove, the griddle, the fryer, the pantry, and that expo line, and refrigeration doors opening and closing constantly, and drawers being pulled out. And you really want to design and plan, take that menu first, always design the menu first. And then you design the kitchen around that. So then you take, you know, then someone like Michael comes in or his team, and you want to make sure that it's efficient, that line is running efficiently, because table turns, everything's timing in this world. Everything. Mm-hmm. Time is money. Time is timing at a table. You get an opportunity two times to turn that table in a dinner service. If you're lucky, three, which is all the gravy. But those first two turns typically just pay the overhead. And so if you get a kitchen that's not designed correctly and bogs down, let's say at the fryer, let's say they've got 10 fryer items and only two grill items and three salads, who's going to be busiest? It's probably going to be that fryer. If that gets bogged down and it puts your table turned, it puts your output, it slows that output down to the servers, to the table, back to the guest, you know, you're going to slow those table turns and you're going to potentially carve into your profit and how many times you can turn that table. So everything really, you know, that kitchen design, I can't stress how important what the job that they do at Southern California Restaurant Design, how important that is to the overall long-term success of your revenue and the happiness of your guests and your staff, you know, that works that line. You want minimum crossover. You don't want accidents. You know, all those things need to be considered when you lay out this kitchen design and put these refrigerators or ovens. I mean, and they're down to the millimeter. And you talked about elevation and, you know, how these, the pipes fit in and the gas lines and the, like, I mean, it's precision. It's like building a jet or a spaceship, right? Building these kitchens and doing it right. And the last thing you want is like a piece of equipment to come in wrong or a little bit too big. And you got, especially with the supply chain issues right now and the lead time, I think you said, Michael, it's like 4 weeks, not 4 weeks, but 16 weeks to 22 weeks, something like that now to get equipment. And if a piece comes in wrong and slows down your opening, think about the delay on that. It cascades to the rent. Now you're paying more rent to be there longer to wait to open.
And Jeremiah, I mean, you've touched on a lot of, you know, great points. And then of course, too, you know, you have the local, you know, boards of health
Yep.
You know, whether it's in your hometown of Santa Barbara or, you know, Los Angeles or anywhere in the country. And, you know, an imperative, you know, with kitchen designers is that you have to understand the regulations. You know, I've seen, you know, openings delayed because the designer made a mistake that, you know, had to be corrected. And when you're dealing with custom stainless, and, you know, now you're dealing with a supply chain issue, it can hold up the opening of your restaurant for a long period of time. You know, just to touch on the supply chain issue, you know, for your listeners out there, you know, what generally took anywhere from 6 to 10 weeks to order, and I'm talking about, you know, the cooking equipment, the refrigeration, the ventilation, you know, everything tied into, you know, back of the house kitchen, in some cases over 20 weeks, especially walk-in refrigeration is 20 to 25 weeks. If you want a fryer, Jeremiah, especially a Pitco fryer right now, you're looking at anywhere from 20 to 30 weeks. So I would urge everybody out there that's considering or in development of a restaurant project, if you haven't ordered your equipment and you want to get open this spring, I'd move pretty quick. Also because, unfortunately, the supply chain issue has led to dramatic price increases in everything from, you know, custom stainless, you know, to any type of, you know, component that you're putting in your kitchen. And in fact, there's going to be another, probably an average of about 10% increase with all the manufacturers in our industry January 1st. So right now we're trying to get our customers that are sitting on the fence to put in their orders so that we can get them in before the end of the year. Because the other thing that's taking place, the manufacturers like the Hobarts, the Well-Builts, the Middlebees, the Alley Group, there's no more grace period like they've had in the past. When they say there's a price increase, and it starts January 1st, and that's when the order comes in, they're not, you know, giving us any leeway or, so or any
you're
type
you're seeing
of break.
A 10% increase you're predicting or you're seeing coming up?
Yeah, I would say that they're overall, starting in January of 22, you're going to see another 10% increase, you know, in conjunction with the year 2021, where there were a number of increases. And it's tied not only to the equipment, but, you know, also there's a major shortage of labor, you know, with the trucking industry. And, you know, as a result, you know, freight prices have skyrocketed substantially too. So it's, you know, it's an overall effect, you know, not just tied to the equipment that has led to a lot of inflation with our, you know, with our industry on the development side over the last year.
Great tip from Michael Benson, president of Southern California Restaurant Design Group. Michael, they can give you a call. They should give you a call, give your people a call. I mean, everybody's going on holiday here pretty quick. Everything will slow down. But before, save yourself 10%. If you're opening a restaurant next year and you're ready to order or you think you need some help, give these guys a call. Give Michael or his team a call before this is January 1st, 2022, and save yourself 10%. If I hope that's okay advice, Michael. I'm sure you guys are all probably closing down here soon, but can they still give you a call
We're 24/7, Jeremiah. We'll we'll be ready for anyone that needs assistance right up until, you know, 6-7 p.m. on the 31st of December. I mean, this is a time where you can kind of, you know, catch up on, you know, a lot of different things that, you know, you're involved with when you're running a company. But this year, I have never seen such a heavy order month as we have in December.
Well, I mean, you look at, you know, spending $100,000, $200,000 on a nicely designed big kitchen, and you can save 10% before January 1st. I'd say that's pretty good motivation to do so.
No, for sure. And I just wanted to touch on another aspect tied to, you know, when you're asking about, you know, kitchen design, you know, obviously, you know, there, you want, you know, a take charge, leadership type person or company firm on the architectural side. You know, obviously you want a seasoned, you know, kitchen design firm, but, you know, also too, what I see happens, and it slows down projects. There's a major disconnect between the capital that the client has. And, you know, if you're not communicating with the client, the design and the equipment package, you know, coming in at a much higher, you know, budget than, you know, what was set forth. And I think a lot of it is because that communication doesn't take place. I mean, one thing that we do really effectively in our work with the architects is, you know, we try to determine right away what the budget is for the equipment and the installation services. And, you know, I would correlate, you know, the food service equipment industry like the car industry, where, you know, you have the Mercedes and the BMWs on the high end of the price scale, you know, the Fords and Chevys in the middle end. And then you have the lower cost cars, the Geos and the Prisms. They're all, you know, really good cars and they all have warranties, but, you know, it comes down to how much you want to spend. You know, do you want an elaborate, you know, custom stainless background in your kitchen, you know, so that everybody, you know, eating in your restaurant can, you know, see how beautiful the kitchen is? Do you want, you know, Jeremiah, you know, as you know, a Rationale combi, which, you know, every celebrity chef seems to have their eye on, you know, what do you want to invest in the refrigeration? Do you want custom refrigeration? Do you want, you know, refrigeration that, you know, is in catalogs, you know, which will save you some money? They're all so many different areas that, you know, come about that aren't discussed beforehand. Generally, it's when you get the budget estimates after the design where the client, you know, starts to say, hey, this is mm-hmm. not, you know, what I wanted to pay for. And I think you've seen it many times too.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt you, Michael. My experience with that too is that it's the old saying, you get what you pay for, and especially in a commercial kitchen, that stuff gets beat up and it goes through a lot of wear and tear if you're a busy place. So you can get the lower mid end or lower end and within 2 years you're replacing it, or you've got the repairman coming in every week to fix it. But there's a lot of different things to consider, and you guys can help out with that. One thing that we're touching on with this long lead time and designing a kitchen, getting it right the first time. Let's say you get that one piece of equipment that doesn't fit right, or it's just not right for the menu. The menu has changed since you thought about the first equipment that went in that space. Where most restaurant owners, especially brand new restaurant owners, new to the business, fail, where they end up going into the red, is think about the rent. Most places are in California, you know, $12,000 to $16,000 minimum. That's your happy area there for rent per month. And when you go over by a month, 2 months, 3 months, if you get any sort of delays, you're looking at $40,000 to $50,000, $45,000, $50,000 in that last month of that rent overage. Not to mention, let's say you've brought on all your staff and now you've got to string them along, and your executive chef at $100,000 a year, and your GM and all this, all the utilities, everything starts to compound. And that's where most restaurant owners go in the red before they even open the doors. They eat up those reserves if they had them planned by opening mistakes. And most of them happen in the kitchen. Something wasn't designed right, and the health department delays, the fire department delays, the air balance doesn't work correctly, and building won't let you open, or fire won't let you open.
Right.
So plan, and bring in the experts. Don't cut corners in this area. That's my
advice. And let me touch on that, Jeremiah. Well,
Michael, we got to take a quick break.
Okay.
And I want to hold that thought, and we're going to be back in 2 minutes, and we're gonna hear that thought. Michael's got some. It's a cliffhanger. We'll be right back with Michael Benson, president of Southern California Restaurant Design Group. I want you to check out their website. Go to SoCalRestaurantDesign.com. A lot of good stuff there. We'll be right back.
This is the Daniel Emmett Show. I've stolen this moment from our host, Jeremiah. He's asked me to give you the title of the song, Che vuole questa musica stasera? And that is a song that I fell in love with when I heard it for the first time, used in the soundtrack of the movie The Man from U.N.C.L.E. Back, I believe it was in the mid-2010s, and just had to record it, and it is going to be a part of my upcoming album releasing later this year.
This is Miles Copeland.
Yeah, so I just had the honor of speaking to the Jeremiah Show.
Little would have believed that little
had the opportunity to speak on such a prestigious show.
And they even talked about my memoir, Two Steps Forward, One Step Back, My Life in the Music Business. So it was a great pleasure to be on that show, The Jeremiah Show.
The Jeremiah Show, the only place to hear the Mike Gormley host interview series. Bringing you iconic music business managers, musicians, and the players who have created your favorite music from 1960 to the 2000s. Find all of Mike's past interviews in the Jeremiah Show music catalog on thejeremiahshow.com or your favorite podcast sites.
Welcome back to the Jeremiah Show. Really fascinating hour here. Getting some getting some really great advice from the man in the business, the man at the top, Southern California Restaurant Design Group President Michael Benson. Man, they've got hundreds and hundreds of clients out there in restaurants and hotels, and from fast casual to fine dining to hotel groups that they have. Kitchen design, interior, front of the house design, basic restaurant design, and equipment, all the best brands, and really just over 30 years of experience. Welcome back, Michael. Yeah, before the break, you were going to give us a great tip.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of tied into, you know, what you had asked me about architects and kitchen design, and I see, and you hit the nail on the head. I see a lot of people that, are first timers in starting a restaurant. They've achieved a high level of success, and whether it's the tech industry, the movie industry, the media, the music industry, you know, all facets of business here in the U.S. And, they take that sense of accomplishment and, the capital they've made, and they've decided to open up a restaurant. And, you know, the one thing that I, pass on to all entrepreneurs, first timers, is if you start trying to cut your budget right away, you're probably not going to have a very successful restaurant when you open the doors. And, one of the areas that I've seen is on architecture, where, instead of hiring an architect, they go out and they hire an interior designer who goes out and gets stamps from an architect. And, any project that has started that way, in my view, hasn't gone as well as it should. I think it's very important that, the clients work with the architects directly. And I see it with kitchen design too, where, it may be that, someone tries this, sketch a kitchen out, within, an architecture firm, or, they have somebody that, does it as a hobby. And again, when you're dealing with development, you're dealing with, you know, construction companies that, you know, come into, you know, the project on the development side. You know, if your plans aren't correct, if your kitchen design isn't correct, you know, if you get off to a bad start, it correlates right to when you open the doors, your restaurant is probably not going to be successful. And, you know, that's why, you know, a lot of times people feel on your side of the business, the consulting side, that they don't want to make an investment in a consultant. But it, again, if you have the right consultant with a restaurant background, they can be invaluable, you know, not only as someone that, you know, can offer assistance on the kitchen design and, you know, some of the features of the kitchens that they deem, you know, to allow an element of success and cut labor costs. But across the board, you know, I think what's happened to the consulting community on the restaurant side is they're generally called to come in with a fire hose after the restaurant opens up. When in fact, I've seen a lot of high net worth people that should have had a consultant right from the start. And, you know, I could give you a number of examples, but, you know, if opening a restaurant, you know, and you really need a lot of capital, and maybe what you're saving at the beginning, you feel, you know, is good. But at the end, it could come back to haunt you.
Yeah, usually does. We'll be right back with Michael Benson, president of Southern California Restaurant Design Group. Go to, I want you to check out their website. Go to SoCalRestaurantDesign.com. A lot of good stuff there. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. I'm Art Alex Hucks from the band Everclear, and we're going to be on tour this summer on the Summerland Tour 2021 with Everclear, Living Color, Hoobastank, and Wheatus. Hope to see you guys out there. Take care.
Here, make sure you find me on Spotify, where you can find all of my latest music, and make sure you tune in to The Jeremiah Show.
Check out The Jeremiah Show Facebook and YouTube pages for exclusive videos of our Jeremiah Show guest interviews.
Listen, Michael, we're wrapping up here, but we didn't get to our predictions. So I'm going to do this. I'm going to go through this real quickly here. Some of the things that, you know, you and I have talked about. And then we only have about 2 minutes. So just comment on the ones that are one of them that you really like and anything that we've missed here. But as of this year, diners from online, phone, and walk-in reservations, seated diners, it's all declined by 63%. So, and it's moved to takeout and meal kits. So restaurants had to shift their entire dining experience to delivery and to-go models. Because of the lockdown restrictions, gatherings of 3 to 5 people were the most prevalent. And of all these, 47% had intent to order their entire meal from a restaurant. So the items that traveled well, the restaurants that had menu items that traveled well, customers craved them and order from them. There's a little bonus fact. A third of off-premise, all off-premise customers age 21 plus say they included an alcoholic beverage with a takeout or delivery order since the beginning of the pandemic, and they'll continue to do so in the future. In 2020, there was a spike in restaurants of all sizes launching gift cards, and since then, it's 50%. 56% of consumers purchase restaurant gift cards right now at this time in the holiday. So this is the time to really, you know, get your gift card program out there and front and center. Restaurants are the most popular of gift cards. Loyalty programs are increasing right now. And restaurant meal kits is a prediction for 2022. Restaurant meal kits and take-home experiences. So Restaurant Trends 2021 by National Restaurant Association said that more than half of adults surveyed said they'd likely purchase a takeout home meal kit if it was offered by their favorite restaurant. That percentage rises 75% in millennials and Gen Z. So consider that for next year. You know, if you have a popular restaurant, people love to come, put a meal kit together so that they can create that meal at home. The rise of the ghost kitchens is another one that we've been talking about for a couple of years, but is really a focus on chefs and restaurants looking to generate revenue through newer and more untraditional models. Ghost kitchens are reliant upon and will continue and reliant upon this year in 2022 beyond for food delivery. So the ghost kitchen is a restaurant that only operates out of the kitchen with no dining space. What do you like out of that, Michael? What are your predictions for 2022?
Well, I think with, you know, COVID, you know, starting to pick up this winter, that we're going to see more, you know, obviously takeout and delivery versus, you know, what we saw in the spring, summer and fall of this year. Going into 2022. But I think the positive is the restaurants out there, whether they're fast casual, quick serve, and we're even starting to see some you know, additional takeout activity with the fine dining restaurants, is they're ready for it now. And they understand, you know, the big picture, and, you know, it's a great way to increase their business. And, you know, their kitchens especially have been redesigned in some cases with more shelves and more cooking equipment in certain areas of the kitchen to accommodate, you know, the growing need for, you know, takeout and delivery type, meals.
And by the way, you and I can both help anybody out there that's opening a restaurant. We both would love to help you set that system up. I recommend a secondary phone line for takeout and delivery, a person staffing that, and a separate pickup and delivery area, so it's not convoluted with all the your food that is going out for the diners. Real good tips and predictions for 2022. We'll have you back next month, hopefully, Michael, with some new topics. I wanted to thank our listeners. Ronnie Parnes, number one listener this week. Rogue Gems, and that's spelled R-O-H-G-E-M-Z. Thank you for listening. Grace Jammy, Thomas Strandell, and Eng. Those are our top 1 through 5 listeners. The top shows, Paul Taylor, saxophonist, episode 422. If you haven't listened to that, check it out. 411, episode 411, Girl Named Tom. They just won The Voice. We were their very first radio show. They're going to be on again next week. Just big congratulations to Kayla, Becca, Grace, and Joshua. That's episode 411. And 422, Helena Avenue Bakery with Casey House and Chef Jason Paluska and Ann Haish. Those are our top 3 shows from last week. Wanted to thank again one more time Michael Benson. He's the president of Southern California Restaurant design. He's a new correspondent and industry professional, giving you tips on how to open your restaurant correctly. And check their website out at SoCalRestaurantDesign.com. A lot of great things on there to look at. These guys can help you design your kitchen, your front of the house, and order your, all of your equipment, everything that you need. Really great professionals. And Michael, thank you so much for joining us.
No, thank you for the invite, Jeremiah, and a shout out to your listeners. I hope everyone has a great holiday season.
Yes, good, good, good. Happy holidays.
And make sure you support your local restaurant. If you get a chance.
Well said, Michael. Well said. All right. Communicate, listen more, and evolve. Have a great week, everybody.
Listening to The Jeremiah Show. I am Miles Zuniga from Fastball, and you can find me every Tuesday at 7 p.m. at facebook.com/MilesZunigaLovesYou. I do a live stream. I'd love to see you there. Thank you.
Hi, this is comedian Maz Jobrani, and you are listening to The Jeremiah Show on AM 1290 KZSB Santa Barbara. Listen, man.
Do you need help with your restaurant or hospitality business? See how we can help your business at HJLRestaurantAdvisors.com. Check out our website at TheJeremiahShow.com. We are on SoundCloud. Please subscribe on iTunes, podcast The Jeremiah Show. Did you like our soundtrack? Find all of our soundtracks on Spotify, The Jeremiah Show. As always, a big thanks to Dr. D for making our voices come alive on the airwaves, and to our station manager, Les Carroll, for letting us on the airwaves at all. Be sure to check out our very own Richard Dr. D. Dugan's Peabody Award-nominated radio show, Tell Me Your Story, every Sunday at 7 a.m. and again at 7 p.m. Thank you for listening to The Jeremiah Show with Dr. D. Listeners, we appreciate you and want to hear from you. Please send us your ideas at TheJeremiahShow.com. Follow us on Instagram at The Real Jeremiah Show. The Jeremiah Show is produced by executive producer Jeremiah Higgins and sound engineer Richard Dr. D. Dugan. Have a great rest of your week, everyone. Communicate. Listen more. Evolve. They were beautiful.